Welcome to 10x Growth Strategies podcast. This is your host, Preeti Padmanabhan, technology executive, investor, and board member. Today, we will feature the book, The World I See by Fei-Fei Li. Our guest today is Diane Yu, who is the co-founder and CEO of Tidalwave.ai. Tidalwave is on a mission to build the first ever generative AI application for mortgages, dramatically reducing the staffing need for leaders. Before Tidalwave, Diane held past roles as the CTO of Better, a digital mortgage lender, and CTO for Comcast Advertising. Diane came to Comcast via Comcast acquisition of FreeWheel, a company she co-founded and built from ground up. Welcome, Diane, a woman leader in technology, 2X tech founder, to the 10X Growth Strategies podcast.
Thank you, Preeti. And hello, my name's Diane. I'm the CEO and the co-founder of Tidalwave.ai. And thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to your audience.
Wonderful. Tell us about yourself, the key highlights from your career journey.
Wow. Okay. So when I think about my own career journey, I always think about, you know, myself starting off as an engineer. And then I started my career at DoubleClick as a engineer. And then, you know, basically over the years at DoubleClick, I grow to become a engineering executive. I run the engineering team when I left DoubleClick. And then the reason I left DoubleClick is because I actually spot a very unique opportunity can help me to learn further and to grow myself. I became the co-founder and the CTO of FreeWheel, a company that I built from ground up and creating a video advertising platform and serving global media companies and to power their premium TV distribution via advertising technology. About 7 years in, that we never really expected that we're going to sign up that many global media companies, but we did. And then Comcast saw the opportunity that they want to make this part of their key strategic initiative in TV advertising. So they made the acquisition. We became part of the Comcast platform. I stayed there for another 7 years and helped Comcast build out all the advertising. And then knowing everything about advertising, acquired 5 companies and then integrated them all together at Comcast. And then I become, you know, bored. I want to learn something new. So I jumped right into a different industry, which is instead of advertising industry, I jumped right into a fintech industry. You know, the company name is Better.com, which is a digital mortgage lender. I came to Better learning everything about fintech, learning everything about mortgage, and came away with the realization that mortgage industry, unlike advertising technology, where there are a lot of tech company powering the capability, but mortgage industry doesn't really have the right tool. So I came away with the idea to creating the right type of tool for the mortgage industry to evolve in a way that is no longer, as you know, basically requiring so much human processing, requiring so much paper shuffling, and then, you know, basically enable the end consumer to be able to, you know, create and get mortgage application as quickly as possible at the time that they are convenient, and to be able to, you know, basically get a mortgage, you know, as easy as if you go on Amazon to buy a supply from there. So I came away with the, you know, the idea I want to build a technology platform to power that. That's the origination of Tidalwave. We are on a mission to build a generative AI tech platform to power and revolutionize the mortgage industry. So today I'm here, you know, as a co-founder and a CEO of Tidalwave.com. And, you know, so much looking forward to the future of my career and then creating another company that change how the industry evolve, okay, setting a mark in a different industry and building a company that gonna benefit the consumer, benefit all the company in mortgage industry today.
Fantastic career journey there. Great to see that as a woman, a leader, you have started 2 companies and all in different industries. And this mortgage problem, I can completely relate to it, having owned multiple houses and refinanced houses. Good to hear that you're solving that problem with AI. So we met at a conference where you spoke. When I met you and asked you to come on the podcast, you recommended the book, The Worlds I See. Why did you choose to read this particular book?
That book, even before it was published, is actually on my list of things that to, you know, basically to read as soon as it's published. Because part of the reason is I have always paid attention to the people that in the industry, especially in AI, and Feifei has become a such a well-known name. And then Feifei has a special experience, not only as an expert in AI, and also has her life experience and resonates with me so well, because as a first generation immigrant, and she was born in China and came to United States and pretty much on her own built her career and then in technology and focus on technology and creating a such well highly respected name in the field that not that many women, and she not only survived, also become the well-respected scientist. In many ways, I see Feifei as someone that a lot of respect, and then certainly want to know from her career journey and learn things that I could discover and help myself out.
Yeah, I can completely relate to that, having been a first generation immigrant myself. So we will certainly unpack some of those aspects as we have the conversation. So tell us about your top takeaways from the book.
So there are many, and then one thing actually resonated with me so well. And then, you know, when I read her book, and then I think she came off as someone who, you know, basically, even though with her fame, with her accomplishment, she's so moderate, she's so humble, she is so resilient, regardless what type of challenge and difficulty she ran into, she always take a positive spin on that, which to me is like amazing. And I just imagine that as a little girl came over, you know, during high school, you have to overcome such a language barrier, not only culture, your coursework, your study is just very different. So she not only survived in a way, she transformed herself. And then during those time that she ran into so many challenges. But when I read this book, it's like it come up so vividly, you know, Feifei just never stopped taking a positive learning experience and any challenge come across her way, which is just amazing. You know, regardless whatever field she's in, I feel like she will always be successful with that type of attitude.
Absolutely. I love that. I think that positive attitude certainly is very helpful as we build our career, especially given all the challenges we face as women in technology that is so critical. Let us unpack a little bit more about some of the challenges immigrants face. Like Feifei talked about the fact that she was uprooted and brought to the US as a child and during high school, as you mentioned, and she had to learn English, adapt to the new environment. How was your experience moving to the US and what are some learning lessons you can share to the aspiring immigrants?
I think it's very, very similar in a way that, you know, I remember I ran into the same challenge that, you know, I couldn't speak the language where others is just coming so natural for them. And even to this day, and I would say that I still speak spoken language. When you speak a language natively, I don't think people would appreciate how big the language barrier on an individual. I had a very similar experience where I had to, you know, learning immerse yourself in something that other people take as granted. And then that experience opens up my eyes to people where I come with a different background from different country where they may think very differently. So I don't take it for granted that, you know, everybody can immediately arrive at the same conclusion. I see that people with a different experience and different background can bring different perspective. When I later on build a team, I always look for people that, you know, with a different perspective. And you can help bring the different experience to the table and help collectively making the best decision. So turn that around, you know, basically from challenge over to something to your advantage, right? And coming with the level of the confidence because of your different experience, you will have a different perspective. And if you're being vocal about that perspective, like others heard your perspective, you can help the team. So, you know, basically what I see from Feifei's career that she has done that, and she has done that many times over. And myself is doing the same thing, you know, and then I think to that, many of the immigrants, instead of thinking their language barrier, their cultural difference may be at a disadvantage, learn about how to turn that into a positive advantage to help you navigate through and to help you advance in your career, to help bring the teams together. And that's so meaningful.
Excellent perspective there, where you're able to look at the diversity aspect, being able to bring that diversity of thought into the table. So that is a great advice for immigrants to leverage their strength, being that they bring a different perspective. Let's now talk about AI. The author talks about the history of AI and machine learning. And for the benefit of the audience, I'll just share that the term AI was coined by the summer paper developed in Dartmouth College by McCarthy and Minsky way back in the 1940s. We all know it took more than half a century for AI to become a mainstream. And one example the author gives is the design by Jan LeCun of a neural network to read cursive patterns on ATM checks. So we've taken it for granted now on how we can deposit checks or now even on the phone. And so that actually was baselined by this discovery. Tell us about some practical applications of AI you have seen in your experience and anything that your company is doing in an innovative way. What have you seen?
As a terminology, or AI as an early experiment, started way back. And Feifei, in one of her later on interview about the book, and also mentioned that when she started her college, the lab at Princeton, I believe, and she mentioned that a lot of the researchers only utilizing a small sample to actually train AI, where she has this concept of large data set that need to be incorporated, and therefore born, you know, the ImageNet, which seems become the reason that why AI, you know, basically starting using so much data set to train to get much better and more sophisticated. So to me, that journey indicated many times a thing or capability or breakthrough started off when nobody really pay attention. They may see in one direction where everyone is chasing one direction, and then but you know the opposite may come be true and more effective. AI's revolution and then change indicated that, you know, for one thing to break through, really takes the entire industry for hardware, software, and the capability for the, you know, the business, and to be able to make something out of it, and for everybody, all the building blocks need to slowly, gradually mature, and for a technology to truly break through. So taking that back to like a mortgage, you know, what I'm doing, just to give you an example. In the mortgage industry, the speaking of utilizing AI has been there for a long time. You know, it started from machine learning. If you ask a lot of people and saying, you know what, okay, we're using AI, we are actually doing machine learning way back before people even realize that's machine learning, which is very true. And I think all of those technology involvement helps the, you know, industry to move forward in the mortgage industry, in the lending industry. And then the last few years of the technology involvement, an example like, you know, basically a company doing the digital banking statement and a company, you know, making the credit report online real time, all of those companies contribute to the overall involvement of utilizing AI ultimately to benefit the end consumer in a way that is real time. AI utilization of the mortgage is not just like something called out of code. It's actually a concept has been starting off with some of the foundation block. And once all the foundation block getting ready, linking together all the foundation block, creating the next generation generative AI application. This is what Tidal Wave is about, to be very honest. Imagine that, you know, we're standing on the shoulder of all those giants and have been creating all those digital transformation. of the bank and the digital transformation of all those, you know, financial related information, making those financial data available. And now we're finally ready as a mortgage industry to looking at this, applying the recent breakthrough of generative AI capability to make the platform a technology that will benefit the end consumer so much. It's going to be a step function. Everything comes through like that, you know, similar like what Feifei was saying, in a small lab, one direction, one thing built on top of the other. And then, you know, mortgage or AI industry in these days, a lot of like AI startup is actually working on and building, utilizing the open AI technology. So I think those are all have the same intent that today, with all those infrastructure evolved to a level that many companies could potentially build breakthrough technology. And I just see that AI in the next 10 years, there will be many such breakthrough happening in all different industries.
Absolutely. I think several industries are getting a positive impact from AI. Lee shares about some of the examples in healthcare, and you shared about how real estate is also going to be transformed by these discoveries in AI. So it's really exciting to see. I am also working on the AI marketing side in my company, where we look at AI for customer service, IT, CRM applications. And some examples that I could share is that we are using AI to be able to have that conversation with customers to start with the whole conversational text method, and then expanding to other modes. So a lot of interesting opportunities, as well as providing AI for insights, right? Providing the right insights when the buying decision has to be made, in your case with the real estate. So what are some ways AI can help?
Wonderful. Exactly. You know, and then I just see that, you know, basically there are many industries could benefit from this breakthrough, because having machine to be able to have a human-like conversation will have the profound impact in all those industries that traditionally has been using human to do a lot of work. Where, you know, an example like healthcare, example like financial services, marketing and stuff like that. I just see that, you know, there are many startups or the existing companies that who, you know, adapt to the change and improvement built by AI technology, AI infrastructure. It's going to come up winning, you know, it's going to come out to do things smartly and more productively, which is going to transform, help lead the transformation of all different industry, different sectors.
That's fantastic to hear about AI and what we can do to benefit from what AI offers us from a technology perspective. I want to take a turn on a different direction here to talk about gender discrimination. And I think that is quite prevalent, unfortunately, even now. And the author talks about how she faced gender discrimination from her teachers and how she defied against it by immersing herself in physics. And we all tend to do that. I think I myself have worked twice as hard as others on the team, or even more, in order to prove myself and overcome some of these discriminatory practices. And there's also this lack of diversity in AI, which we know is an issue in the tech industry. What are some examples from your career where you had to overcome gender discrimination, and how do we bring a positive change for future women leaders?
Where should I start? So let me start with back to, you know, basically Feifei's book as an example. And I think she mentioned about the freedom of thoughts. Her parents really created a environment where helped to cultivate her freedom of thoughts, where she believes that she can do whatever she wanted and it can be successful at it. So that it doesn't put these, you know, limitation or boundary in, you know, in what she can or cannot work or do, and which is very critical. I have a daughter, I'm a mom, her name is Maggie, so cute. And then, you know, when I think about her, and then one thing that I think I can help to create give it to her is creating an environment where she can believe, you know, basically ultimately believe she can do anything she wants and love and be successful at it. Not to be bound by because she's a girl. She couldn't do things that other boys will maybe, you know, be good at. So I think that's very critical and very important. And believe it or not, now even after all those talk, our society still has this gender stereotype. You know, and sometimes it's implicit, but because the fact that it's implicit even hurt more for the girls, for the women that experience that, and other people actually unintentionally, but they have those level of the bias. As a women technologist, and then I just experienced that in the early days of my career, even today, I still face the same thing, where when they see me as a woman, as the immigrant, as an Asian, and you just feel like you have this level of the barrier that you have to overcome, prove that you are capable, where other people doesn't come with the same characteristics in the body image, and they don't have to. They just walk in immediately with the credibility. So I would say that, you know, basically it still exists, and we first has to know, acknowledge it exists. And then secondly, for people who are, you know, basically at a disadvantage, and that's, for example, like women technologists, then that doesn't happen that frequently. And then I would say that, you know, for anybody who are in the field of technologists or places where you just look around, you don't see as many women and or as many, you know, people that look like you, keep your eyes up, that you believe in yourself and making that come through and making sure your opinion is being heard and making sure that you don't back off just because you look differently, you think differently, okay? And offer that up, and that's gonna eventually help. That's going to help others see it through you, not stop at your appearance, but actually see what you truly think about, and then they're going to discover. And for the people that add this, you know, advantage, and as an example, if you're, you know, a man in the industry where, you know, coming, you already automatically come with the credibility, and making sure that you pay attention to the someone at the corner that doesn't look like you. Make sure that you don't automatically bias toward to people that you feel comfortable with and look like you, and make sure that you give everybody the equal amount of credibility, and then so that allow them to come through, not just being stopped at their appearance, but come through shine with how they think about things and their thoughts, and which is very critical. And I think if everybody just make one step further, and then we gonna leave the world, you know, our daughters will leave a much better world. And that's what I strive for. And that's what I feel so optimistic and feel so strongly that every day I'm gonna live by that example, advocate for that, a better world for our daughters.
Sounds great. I think the aspect of not just addressing the discrimination for ourselves, but to also make sure that we are paying attention to our biases and making sure that doesn't come in the way of how we give opportunities to others. So that is very critical. There is certainly a lot of positive move in that direction and a recognition of this issue. I'm also part of How Women Lead, where we talk about getting more women in the boardroom and having a seat at the table. And so a lot of positive change is happening. That is very good to hear from you also in terms of what others can do to help. Let's come back to AI and some of the key topics that are top of mind for people when it comes to using AI. We also in our company emphasize about the security and responsible AI, which is top of mind for both the developers as well as the users of AI. What are your thoughts on ways to make AI secure?
So I think that actually need to come through, you know, a technology. It's a technology. And then whether, you know, basically there are a lot of concerns about, hey, people using technology for a different intention. It's not technology's fault if you truly think about it. In order to make AI secure, and we're saying building responsible AI, so actually the people creating that technology, need to be responsible. That's the first and foremost. I would say that we need to make sure that when we're creating AI as a technology, especially these days, that actually has reached a breakthrough point where it can be so powerful that people start to feel like, hey, wait a minute, right? And if we don't look at this carefully, one day it just overpower human. And I think in many ways that, you know, basically AI as a technology is depends on how people want to use it. If you use it responsibly, if you build the capability in the right way, then technology will not go out and do a harm's way. Okay. So that's very key and critical. And I think this also puts in the responsibility for the people that, for the company that in the position to create infrastructure, to empower all those applications, right? And I see that a lot of company using applications, but, you know, if the infrastructure itself is not built and being properly went out for security and responsibility and then basically doing the right thing, and it's very easy for application to go wild, okay? And we need, and as a, you know, basic society, especially the ones that, you know, when I look at people in the position, company in the position of power, need to really be the leaders and then help us all and regulate in a such way that AI will not go out and do the harm's way, and which is very critical, right? And then I think Feifei talk about this, you know, and then that's one of her passion as well, how to help to making sure that AI is not becoming, you know, play a tool doing a lot of harm to the society. Everyone has the same responsibility. And then, you know, the one that who are in position of power and need to carry even higher share of that.
Makes perfect sense. I think everybody who's working on AI, taking responsibility all the way to the leadership is critical and making sure that we are not creating a path towards, I think it's called PDU, or that's what I read on the internet in terms of like the day when machines take over, which I think we've seen in several movies. So let's certainly work towards making AI secure. So making it a valuable ally for the humankind.
I also feel like, you know, basically stopping it, that doesn't really work either. I think it needs to be properly channeled because the innovation, the power is there. And I just need to channel that in the right direction. Today, what we hear a lot of AI being used for, you know, for example, improve the productivity and then optimize the flow and making people's life easier. I think those are all good, you know, and the places where, you know, creating fraudulent activity, and those are the stuff that need to be super careful. And then how to, from the foundation perspective, and stop those type of company creating business. And then that's also the key. And this is where, you know, some of the regulation probably fall behind, need to catch up on.
Our final topic is bias in AI. AI experts say that this is an unsolved problem and any individual bias is going to be compounded through AI. For example, I recently heard there was a job application posted on Facebook that was only sent to male candidates because it was lower cost to send ads to men. And United Healthcare was sued for wrongful denial of claims using AI to approve the claims. What are some ways we can combat bias in AI?
It's a serious problem. It is, right? So it comes back to my original point about technology. And I remember in the early days, the reason I got in computer science is because I believe computer will always follow the instruction based on what people tell it to do. So if you tell the computer incorrect things, you create a bug and computer execute the bug. So in the AI world, I still think it similar in a similar way. If there are bias in AI, it's not because AI start to learn the bias. It's actually the input data train it to be biased. So we have to look at the input data. If you think about it, of course, it's a large data set. It's very hard to identify problem. But if you think about this, and this is actually the same as the regular computer language, okay? So computer doesn't really know what to do. In many ways, it executes exactly how your instruction write it to be. Even with the AI capability today, so powerful, but what it does is actually taking the input of the data set and doing exactly what the input of data set indicate. Even the self-learning is still learning from the input data set. So coming back to that, right? If the job application was sent to only male candidate for Facebook, and I think it's because of Facebook's algorithm dictates so. So what we need to do is, and we should not say, hey, oh my God, and the AI is doing the wrong thing. We actually should say, Facebook, why did you create an algorithm like that? You should change that algorithm. And then, you know, basically this will make it unbiased, right? So I utilize this in the mortgage, in a tidal wave technology as well. Because traditionally in mortgage application, I think many of the, you know, applicants will probably run into the similar type of situation where when you talk to the loan officers, if you are minority and you come from non-privileged background, and sometimes you do worry, and sometimes it's true that loan officer has a unconscious bias on you. So they would, you know, basically reject your loans sometimes. And then when we look at this, we're saying if we just take the data, the input as is, we're going to create an AI version that's going to have the same bias, which is evil, which is terrible, right? So when we do, you know, basically creating our generative AI platform and capability, one of the passion and mission that Tidal Wave has is to making sure that all the applicants, regardless of their skin color and then their background, they can be treated equally, just they are 100% evaluated based on their financial capability, not because of their skin color, not because of their gender. So they are, you know, basically the rules and how we use to evaluate are transparent and clear to everyone, so that government and the regulation parties can look at those audit all the time. And if we all take that same step, and I think we can rule out, you know, the bias in AI. And I think we can build a world where AI is so powerful and executed in the right way and bring the transparency and the fairness to everyone. And it doesn't come in with the bias that people so worry about.
That's great to know that your product is already working towards making sure that this bias does not proliferate in the mortgage industry. I have personally seen another woman who was ready to buy our house in India was asked by the bank officer to add her husband's name to the application. It was a big discrimination and she did not want to do that. And she's currently a chief HR officer. And if it can happen to somebody who's having a high career, it can happen to anybody, right? So that is good to know that in your company, you are able to mitigate that bias from going into the AI. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, that's my passion. You know, just think about the lawsuit that Wells Fargo has, right? So if there are tools that can record the decision and also elaborate all the rules going in for the decision, you know, wouldn't that make the world much better and a fair place? That's certainly our passion.
Any final insights for the audience?
So I do recommend, you know, to read the book. Fifi wrote such an incredible memoir about her experience. And then if you think about this, and this is not only someone in AI and also such a highly respected scholar who come off from a so personal and come up with a similar background like many of us have. And then she, via her career, just via the natural curiosity and help her to get to where she is today. And I think many of us can actually take a page out of that memoir and learn how, you know, one, keep the curiosity and keep on believing yourself what you can accomplish. And then, you know, that's one of the biggest learning I had, you know, from that book. So I remember that Feifei in her book, you know, famously said that if you keep the fire in your belly, and then if you keep the level of the resilience, and then you can be and whoever you want to be, and you can accomplish so much more. And I think if we can all take a page from that memoir, and then this is the one that you can keep. And this is certainly the one that, you know, I feel resonates so well with me.
Excellent. Wonderful way to finish the podcast. It was a pleasure having you. And it's been great to learn about all the AI innovation that you're driving and to also discuss the book, The Worlds I See. Listeners, check out the book. And thank you for tuning in. And thank you, Diane.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.